Let us pray. As we gather here, Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for your encounter, for the promised presence in our midst. Lord Jesus, we all come here this morning with different experiences of the week. We come here with different attitudes, even this very moment. But Lord God, we ask and we know that your presence, that your promise is real, that it comes near, that it changes lives. We engage, Lord God, the Spirit, and we ask your presence now for each of us, where we most need to have your comfort, your peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, after receiving the lesson for this Sunday, I started thinking about how excited I really truly am about our new narrative lectionary, because how often do we get a text like the one that we received today about the binding of Isaac? It's really interesting because there's probably very few stories from the Bible that I can remember my first reaction to them. And I remember my very first reaction to hearing this story. I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I was pretty young. And I remember reading this story about this guy who loved God, Abraham, who took his only son with him and was prepared to sacrifice him to God. And you know where my head went? My dad loves God. My dad is a pastor. He stands up and tells people about God every Sunday. Oh no. What if God asked my dad to do that too? And it started that whole question, wow, would my dad do that to me? We hear this story. And the reality of a story like this in the Bible is it makes us question. It makes us ask questions about God. And I'm here to tell you right now that that's okay. Because if you read through this story, it seems amazing. So we first are told that Abraham and Sarah have gotten that for which they had asked. Now think about their life. Abraham is a wanderer. Abraham has no place to live. It's not like Abraham is living the great life, he's over here and he's in the country club or anything like that. No, Abraham is a wanderer, he's a nomad, his life isn't great. And then he has this encounter with God, and God comes to him, and God says, I am going to give you, he gives him a threefold promise. He says, I'm going to give you, first of all, I'm going to give you land, and then I'm going to give you progeny, I'm going to give you a nation. And then the third promise is that this people will be a blessing to the world. Land, progeny, to be a blessing. That's the promise that God gives to Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis. And so this backstory is that they were waiting for this to happen. It didn't happen. And finally it happens. And they have this son, Isaac. And can you imagine? It's like, wow, everything is coming true. And then God says sacrifice. Now if you read our scripture today, when we get to that place, it says, after these things, God tested Abraham. And he says, take your son, whom you love, and take him to the land of Mount Moriah, land of Moriah, and offer him there on one of the mountains that I will show you. And then the next verse is, so Abraham rose early in the morning. Really? Really? Okay, look, I've given you all this blessing, Abraham. Now go and sacrifice it. And then it's, so he got up and went. I want to know what happened in between. Especially, I want to know, did he say anything at all to Sarah? Hi, Sarah. Yeah, I was talking to God last night. I know you love Isaac, but we got to sacrifice him. I mean, do you think he went there as a husband? You know, sometimes, do you do that? I wonder if she said okay, or if she knew nothing about it. Plausible deniability for Sarah. But it seems crazy, doesn't it? So he rises and he takes his son. Now, throughout the reading of this text, we see some hints. We see some hints of some things that I think are pretty awesome. You get down to verse 5. Abraham says to the men, well, stay here. And he says, the boy and I will go over there. We will worship. And then he says this. Then Abraham says, and we will come back, he says. Now, you know what he's charged with, right? But in this moment, Abraham says, we will return. We will come back. Later on, as we are getting to the questioning that is happening, Isaac is asking Abraham what's happening, and Abraham says to him, God himself will provide the burnt offering, knowing that what he had been planning to do. You see, it seems that throughout this whole scene, Abraham is being asked to make a decision about whom he believes God to be. The culture around Abraham and the people at this time was a culture where child sacrifice was not rare. Sacrifices were made. Those were the kind of things that were a part of their experience. And here we have a story of God giving Abraham this wonderful gift of Isaac. And then the question becomes, does Abraham still believe that God is the God of life? Last week, as we were looking at our lectionary, we were talking about creation. We were talking about the God who brings new life out of turbulence, out of chaos, out of difficulty, that God is the God who takes that and builds that anew. We say that ours is the God of life. And then here, Abraham is tested primarily on whether he still believes that God is the God of life. And that's the question for you and me. In the midst of the brokenness, in the midst of the struggle, are we going to believe that God is the God of life? In the midst of the pain and the hurt and the fracturing of our world, are we going to believe that ours is the God that saves? Not sacrifices, but saves. It's interesting because we are told in Scripture today that Abraham carries the wood himself. That he is carrying the wood to sacrifice this great blessing. And it asks the question to us, what are the things that we are willing to offer to God? That really, we really value. Like it may be your intellect. It may be your pride. It may be, your status. It may be your achievements. It may be your looks. What is it that you really cling to, that if God said give this up, you'd be like, I don't know if I could do that? Because the reality is, Abraham has to carry this cross, if you will, this wood, himself. And he carries it to this place, trusting throughout the whole time that God is the God of life. And if we believe that God is the God of life, then you and me, we can give anything over to God. I so badly want to be successful, but you know what? I can give that over to God if I know that God is the God of life. And even if I'm not successful, even if I fail, then I know that my God can still redeem and claim me and give me a sense of peace and grace. I know that for Dave Young, I have to give up that thriving for success, because that could become my own God. What is it for you? Is it success? Is it your pride? What is it that we need to offer a sacrifice to God, so that then God, the loving, the God who provides, the God who is the God of life, takes our sacrifice and makes it anew? You know, it's interesting in this story that they find a lamb. Can anybody else think of a lamb that was sacrificed? What did we talk about in our gospel lesson today? The lamb who is to be sacrificed. Because as it comes down to it, not Abraham's only son, not yours, not mine, not anyone's will be sacrificed. It'll be only God's. Only God of life is going to take on that. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Friends, you and me have been given an amazing God. A God of life, a God of promise, a God of newness, a God of hope. And even amidst evidence to the contrary in our life and in the world that is broken and fractured, ours is the God who will provide. Who will provide for you, who will provide for me, who will provide for this world a sense of promise and hope and healing and new life. Indeed, as Donna said in the children's sermon, Pastor Dave's sermon is going to say this. And she's right. As we trust, and as we obey our God, as we are willing to sacrifice and even challenge our own very central parts of who we are to the God of life and hope, we will come to experience and first know that ours is the God